it. Are you ready for the word today? Hallelujah. I see you out there. Beautiful, beautiful. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into our word. Father God, you are so good, and we thank you, Lord, for this continued worship. Now we desire to hear from you, that you would speak to us, and that you would speak through this vessel, Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit through the issues of life, and that your word would land on fertile soil in our hearts, and that we would be doers of the word, not hearers only, but doers, Lord. Guide us, protect us, correct us, instruct us, and even rebuke us, Lord, where necessary. We trust you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Well, go ahead and get a Lord a hand praise as we prepare to get into his word today. I am excited about the word of God. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we're concluding our series, Reconciliation, What Can I Do? We're going to encourage you to pray for those in authority. That's what we're going to do. So when we consider reconciliation, what can I do? Today, we're looking at praying for those in authority. So I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because this is the passage of scripture that actually sets our series up. And we've been preaching from this premise, if you will, even though we've been sharing different scriptures, this has been our foundation. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18, it says this: Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Everybody see that? We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So in this particular series, the first message, we discussed what reconciliation was and how important it is that that be the premise from which we work. In fact, the scripture is telling us that at one particular time, God made man in his image and in his likeness, and man had fellowship with God. That's an awesome thought when we think about that. Man had fellowship with God, and we know that in Genesis chapter 3, sin came in. Sin brought about death on the earth, but sin also brought about a separation of that fellowship, a breaking of that fellowship, so that we were estranged from God. From that point on, man was born in sin. I'm so thankful that the story didn't end there, but thousands of years after the garden, we know that there was Gethsemane, and that's where Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was going to the cross for you and for me. And Jesus bore our sins. He became what the Bible calls the propitiation. I know that's a big word, but what it means is Jesus became the atoning sacrifice for us, because God said the soul that sins shall surely die. And so we all had a death sentence looming over our heads, if you will. And Jesus Christ paid the price for our death sentence. He paid with his blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Not only does it wash white as snow, but it was the atoning sacrifice that satisfied God. And as such, we who were estranged were reconciled back to God. And that's what this passage is saying, that God, through Jesus Christ, reconciled us back to him. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting everlasting life. Well, believers are reconciled to God again. And so that was the first message. We discovered that, and God has given us that ministry of bringing things together again, of mending, of repairing the breaches. Our second message was called reconciliation. What can I do? And we discovered that we can love our neighbor. Remember that? That came from Luke chapter 10. And we discovered that your neighbor is someone that God is intervening in their lives, and he's using you to do it. Remember, it's not the neighbor that we pick, because it's easy to love people that we pick to love, but God actually demonstrates to us or shows us who our neighbor is. And we discovered that loving your neighbor means that you are compelled to action when you see the need of your neighbor. Number two, you give time and resources to help your neighbor. And number three, you invest in the long-term recovery of your neighbor. And this comes from the story of the Good Samaritan who did those very things. And then the third message is reconciliation. What can I do? And that's love one another. Remember that? And we discussed that last time we were together. Believers are to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And we do this by loving one another as Jesus taught us to do. And he tells his disciples, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember that there? And as believers love one another, that love will unify them around the issues of life. That's what it does. When we love one another and we love God, then we see eye to eye on the majority of things. And the things that we don't see eye to eye on, it's okay, because we know that it's not a major deal. We know that it's not a deal breaker because we are believers. And I always like to say, if Jesus Christ is the denominator, it doesn't matter what the numerator is, because he's the common denominator. And you know, for those of you who know your fractions, that always works out when there's a common denominator. So we discovered that as we love one another, we love genuinely. It's not fake. We let the supernatural power of God work through us in love. And that's what we do, because the Holy Spirit has shed abroad love in our hearts. That we treat one another with mutual respect. Remember that? And we empathize with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see things from their perspective. We see ourselves in their shoes, if you will. And then we seek to walk in unity with our brothers and sisters. And lastly, we confront our brothers and sisters when necessary. In other words, we don't leave them out there on the limb of sin, where they're, you know, something is going on and we know and we have relationship with them and we're choosing to leave them out there. We're not ignorant concerning the devil's devices. So I want to just encourage you with that. Now, today we conclude our series, Reconciliation, What Can I Do? And the answer to what can I do this week is pray for those in authority. And it comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. So I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. It says this: Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Everybody see that there? For kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Everybody see that? Therefore, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So when we consider reconciliation, what can I do? You can pray for those in authority. I want to just say that again. Pray for those in authority. Now, what's interesting is Paul writes this to Timothy. And he writes this to Timothy, you know, there's 1st and 2nd Timothy. So he writes two letters to Timothy, who was a young pastor. Many believe that he's Paul's protege, but Paul calls him my son in the faith. And Paul says, I'm like a father to Timothy, this young pastor. And he writes to Timothy during the time that Nero is emperor of Rome. Now, Nero was considered one of the cruelest emperors to rule Rome. In fact, the Harper Bible Dictionary says this. It says, Nero ruled as Roman emperor from AD 54 to AD 68. He was the son of the fourth wife of the emperor Claudius and Agrippina. Nero would eventually murder his mother and wife Octavia in order to marry the beautiful Pompeia, whom he also later murdered. A change in Nero's conduct occurred in AD 62, and he tended toward public brutality and sexual licentiousness and demanded to be worshiped as God. Now, there's a book that I always recommend for those of you who want to understand more about those who have died for their faith and the grace that God has given them. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I want to read to you what John Fox says about Nero and the persecutions that happened under Nero. It says this: the first persecutions of the church took place in the year 67 under Nero, the sixth emperor of Rome. Among other diabolical whims, he ordered that the city of Rome should be set on fire, which order was executed by his officers, guards, and servants. Many palaces and houses were consumed. Several thousand perished in the flame, were smoldered in the smoke, or were buried beneath the ruins. Nero blamed Christians for the fire and contrived all manner of punishment for the Christians that the most infernal imagination can design. In particular, he had some sewed up in skins of wild beasts and then worried by dogs until they died. And others dressed in shirts made stiff with wax, affixed to trees and set on fire in his gardens in order to illuminate them. Now, this persecution was general throughout the whole Roman Empire, but it rather increased than diminished the spirit of Christianity. In the course of it, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter were both killed during this time. So Paul is, before he dies, he's telling Timothy, pray for those in authority. And Nero is ruling. And you would say, well, why pray for such a wicked man? Why pray for those within authority under such a wicked administration? Well, that leads me to why people don't pray for authorities. You might ask the question, why do people not pray? Well, I'll give you some reasons why people don't pray for authorities. Number one, they don't pray for authorities when they disagree with the authorities' political ideology. And we're discovering that even in the time that we're in. And I'm so thankful for Stacy's exhortation because she is so right. Right now, there's so much civil unrest. There's so much division. There's so much confusion. There's so many arguments. And many of those arguments fall between political lines. And those who have one side or the other, they oftentimes don't see the need to pray for those who have a different political ideology. But I want to let you know that that shouldn't be you and me. That shouldn't be the believers. We should never allow politics to dictate our spiritual life. Oh, glory to God. I know I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. You and I, believers in Christ, should never allow politics to determine how they will treat people. We allow the Spirit of God to guide us. We allow His Word to be a lamp unto our feet, to be a light unto our path. And we trust God, and we're believing that we're vessels of reconciliation. We're vessels that God would use to bring other people into the kingdom. And we can't do that if we're siding with a political ideology. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So people don't pray for those in authority when they disagree with the authority's political ideology. People don't pray for those in authority because they disagree with the authority's social identification. They disagree with either their race or their gender or their religion or their economic status because they're different from me. So I see them as an enemy. I see them as someone who's opposed my beliefs, someone who's opposed what I stand for, and therefore, why pray? Oh, praise God. See, people don't pray for those in authority because they don't believe the authorities represent them. Think about that. There are some people that don't pray for authorities because they say, well, they don't represent me. They don't represent me. And I think what we're doing is we're hearing a lot more about that dynamic even now as we look at the racial tension and the desire for racial harmony in our society today. We hear about that. In fact, the second paragraph of the United States Declaration of Independence starts as follows. It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, isn't that great? That's a great word. But what's interesting about that is it was written when Black people were slaves. So technically, it didn't apply to them because it wasn't about freedom. It wasn't about liberty. It wasn't about the pursuit of happiness. It was about, I want to say, capitalism and economic prosperity when it came to slavery, because slaves were the workforce for many of Americans at that particular time. And so we have arguments that are based from there that are being resounded now. And some people won't pray for authorities because they say, well, it's really not my country, or it's really not, that wasn't written for me. Let me let you know that civil rights for Blacks did come. It came at a later date, and it came at a great cost, let me say that, because many lives were given to that cause. And today, many people are still fighting for the acknowledgement of those rights. Things are, I pray, that are moving forward. And we've seen a lot of forward momentum, by the way. We've seen a lot of things that have worked in favor of those who are wanting the acknowledgments of rights. But based on the current day today, we see that there's still more work to be done. Amen. The point here is, if you don't pray, what can God do? I just say that again. If you don't pray, what will God do? So I want to encourage you to move beyond this thinking to pray for those in authority. People don't pray for those in authority because they believe the authorities have failed them somehow, some kind of way. Well, you know, this cabinet didn't do that. This administration didn't do this. And I'm just throwing my hands up. I don't care. And what's interesting about that, I mentioned it before, that we as believers are to pray for those in authority, regardless of their shortcomings, regardless of the promises that they made and did not fulfill, regardless of what the leaders, if you will, what the leaders did or didn't do. God says, I want you to pray for them. Oh, I hope you're getting this in your heart. I know that there's believers, and I'm 60 years old, so I know that I've been on this earth for a little while. I've seen administrations come, and I've seen administrations go, and I've seen people align themselves with administrations, and I've also seen people distance themselves from administrations. And the Bible tells you and me as believers that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We do live here on earth, and we should render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. We should vote. We should pay our taxes. We should render the things to Caesar. But guess what? Caesar doesn't dictate my heart. The Holy Spirit of God dictates my heart. Oh, praise God. I hope you're getting that today. We should never allow the things that are Caesar's to interfere with our walk with our God. I like what Joshua says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like what Peter and John said when the religious leaders of their day told them never to preach again in the name of Jesus. And they put them in jail, and Peter and John came out of jail and immediately began to preach the name of Jesus again. And they jammed them up. They said, did we tell you not to preach in this name? And Peter said this. He said, you know what? I know what you said, but it's better to obey God than man. We will continue to preach. And I pray that that becomes your motto today. I pray that you say in your heart, I would rather, it's better for me to believe God. It's better for me to obey God. It's better for me to do what God says than to do what man says. Oh, hallelujah. Get a load of hand praise. So I want to encourage you today to these things are going on, but God wants us to pray. And then some people don't pray for those in authority because they don't want to change how they feel about those in authority. So they're not going to pray. And I'll give you a great example of that. Jonah was a great example of a person who didn't want to pray for authorities. He didn't want to see the authorities repent. God told Jonah, he says, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to tell them to repent. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He didn't like the king of Nineveh. He didn't want to have anything to do with them because they captured the northern tribes and took the children of Israel out and transplanted Assyrians in, and the fragment of the Israelites began to intermarry with those Assyrians, and the Assyrians were brutal with their torture of the children of Israel. And so Jonah said, no, I'm not going. You guys know the story. He got in the boat and went a whole different way than the way God wanted him to go. Why? Because he hated the authority. He hated the king of Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites. And he says, I am not going. So we know the story that he did eventually go. And what's interesting is he shared that message of repentance to the king, and the king had everybody fast. Stacy was talking about fasting. Here, the king pronounced the fast for him, his administration, his cabinet, for the people, for the nobles, for the peasants, even the animals fasted. Hallelujah. He proclaimed the fast all across the land. And guess what happened? God stayed his hand away from the king of Nineveh and the Assyrians because they repented. And see, some people won't pray for other folks because they don't want to change how they feel about other folks. Oh, I pray that you're getting this. There is good news, though. There's good news. See, my goal in preaching this message is that you would be passionately moved forward. See, you would be passionately moving forward to pray for those in authority, regardless of their ideology, regardless of their race, regardless of their political party, regardless of the history of this country, regardless of what has happened as a result of many things that we see transpiring today. God says, I want those who are called by my name to pray for those in authority. Oh, I hope you're getting this today. So our text in Timothy, it says this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, right? That's one of the reasons that God wants us to pray. However, I believe that there are additional reasons that the scripture reveal why we should pray for those in authority. So I'm going to share with you three reasons why we should pray for those in authority. And we're going to allow the scripture to show us that. Three reasons why we should pray for those in authority. And reason number one is because God is sovereign. Oh, hallelujah. Because God is sovereign. Look at Psalm number 24. Psalm number 24, verse 1. Some of you know this passage of scripture. It says this: the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and what? All those who dwell therein. Everybody see that there? Here, God is sovereign. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, all who dwell therein. There's nothing that escapes him. There's nothing that he doesn't see. There's nothing that he's not ultimately in control of. There's nothing that happens without him being fully aware that it's taking place. And God says, I want you to pray for those in authority because I am sovereign and you belong to me. You're my son, you're my daughter, and I'm wanting my will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm wanting you to seek me. Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and and it shall be opened unto you. Well, we do this through prayer. And he said, I want you to pray for those in authority because I'm sovereign and I'm over those that are in authority. Hallelujah. You know, we have this term. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know what that means? That means he is the king of any world leader that we know or have known. God is the king of that world leader. He's the Lord of any lords that have existed here on earth. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. So he instructs you and I to pray for those little case G's, the little case gods, the little case lords, the little case leaders, for those in authority. Why? Because I'm sovereign. And my sovereignty is without limits, God says. I love what Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 says. Look at what it says. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. I love this. It says, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Does everybody see that there? See, his sovereignty is recognized in the fact that the king's hearts are in God's hands. And it didn't say the righteous king's hearts are in God's hand. The saved king's hearts are in God's hand. The good king's hearts are in God's hand. No, what he said was the hearts of kings, the hearts of leaders, the hearts of those that are in authority is in my hand. And whichever way I turn it, I'm going to turn it. Oh, glory to God. Everybody see that there? It's why it's so important that you and I pray. When revealing the king of Babylon's vision, Daniel said this about God's sovereignty. Look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. Everybody see that there? That's what God does. The heart of kings is in his hand. He turns it whichever way he wants to turn it. He removes kings. He establishes kings. And he also, what does it say he does? Therefore, he has mercy on, he changes the times and the season and removes kings and he raises up the kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. This is our God. This is our God. He's sovereign. He's in control of people that you may not believe God is in control of because they don't believe the same thing you believe or they don't see things the way you see things. So you say, well, God couldn't be in that. The scripture tells us otherwise, ladies and gentlemen. The scripture tells us otherwise. Look at Romans. Look at Romans chapter 9. This is one of those examples where the scripture shows us otherwise. Romans chapter 9. I'm going to look at verse 17 and 18. Now, I know I'm giving you lots of scripture, but I pray that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Look at what it says. And the Apostle Paul, he's quoting a passage in Exodus with regards to Pharaoh. And we know that Pharaoh was the king of Egypt at the time, and he was ruthless. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you. Everybody see that there? Oh, I hope you're getting a glimpse of this. God has raised Pharaoh up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Everybody see that there? So here, you and I know the story of Pharaoh. We know the story of the Red Sea parting and the Israelis walking through the Red Sea on dry ground. We know that story, and it's a very famous story, by the way. In fact, they even made a movie about it. Some of you remember the Ten Commandments? With Charlton Heston and some of the other actors, Ernest Borg. No, not our, let me just keep going. Anyway, these are some good old school actors, right? And that Moses, they had Lurch playing the voice of God, Lurch from the Addams Family. Some of you might remember that. I mean, and it was just a great movie, but it was based on a great story. And what's interesting is God is the one who raised Pharaoh up to be the way Pharaoh was, so that God's name would be known throughout all the earth. And some of you would say, well, wait a minute. Pharaoh was an evil king. Yes, he was. But guess who was sovereign? God is sovereign. So we pray for those in authority because God is sovereign. They are being tools used by God, regardless of your thoughts about them. I want to help broaden your perspective to know that God is still in control. You say, well, what about Hitler and what about other leaders that were tyrants that murdered and killed? You know what? Sin is alive here on planet Earth. And it didn't mean that God wasn't in control. What he's doing is, as the Bible says, it says that some men, God is not slack, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. In other words, he's not just hanging out waiting. But you know what? He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And as such, he is allowing things to unfold, but the things that unfold still ultimately give him glory. Oh, hallelujah. See, you and I might not see it, but the things that God allows to unfold ultimately gives him glory. I'll just say here, just on a personal level, this COVID-19, I don't believe God caused COVID-19 to happen, but I do believe this, that as a result, God is moving in some ways that you and I can benefit from. In fact, I'll just venture to say that we have more people in our Zoom meeting on Sundays than we had in our sanctuary on Sundays. Amen. How many of you agree with that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that a bad thing? No, that's a good thing. And guess who it gives glory to? It gives glory to God. And I know I'm not the only pastor that's experiencing that. I've heard that from other pastor friends of mine. He said, man, we have more people on Facebook or on Zoom and Skype and all that, and Google Meet and Hangouts and all that. We're having more engagement with people than we ever have before. Oh, I pray that you would see God's activity, ladies and gentlemen. I pray that you would see God at work. Oh, yes, the COVID-19 is there, but see, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. God is actively working during this time. I love what he says, Isaiah. He says to Isaiah, behold, I do a new thing. It shall come forth. Will you not see it? So my question for you today is, will you focus on all this negativity that's going on and not see what God is doing? Or will you align yourself with our holy God and see the very things that he's doing day by day by day? Oh, give the Lord a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's good. So we pray for those in authority because God is sovereign. He's sovereign. He's still in control. It doesn't matter what the name of the president is. It doesn't matter which party is in the House or the Senate. Let me just let you know, that's nothing to our God because he's sovereign. So reason number one, we pray for God. We pray for those in authority because God is sovereign. Reason number two, authority comes from God. Authority comes from God. So we've discovered that he's sovereign. But look at Romans chapter 13. This helps us to understand why he wants us to pray for those in authority, because he says this, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Everybody see that there? But here we understand that authority comes from God, because without God, there would be no authority. Why do you say that, Pastor Will? Because God is the ultimate authority. Did you know when Moses was told to go to the children of Israel? Remember that when Moses saw God in the burning bush, and God said, I want you to go to let my people go. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go, right? Remember that? And Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? Lord, They've been in bondage for 400 years. They don't know who you are. Who shall I say sent me? And remember what God said? He said, you tell them I am that I am sent you. Oh, praise God. I am the self-existing God, the God of everything. God is the ultimate authority. Did you guys know that there is no authority outside of God? And that's what God is saying in this scripture. He's saying all of the authorities are from me. The authorities that exist, they come from me. Did you know, even in the evil realm, the evil spirit realm, let me say that, the evil spirit realm, did you know that there was still authority in the evil spirit realm? Yeah, if there were not authority, then God wouldn't be the authority even over the evil. Remember, the book of Ephesians tells us that we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Everybody see that? Did you know that many of those terms are used to denote the fact that there are ranks and there is order within that evil realm? Why? Because God is the ultimate authority, and every authority that ever will exist, that ever did exist, is authority that stems from God, who is the ultimate authority. So you say, well, Pastor Will, why are men evil? Are you saying that God established evil men to be in authority, in places of authority? No, I am not. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. And men are sinners. We are sinners. But it doesn't remove the hierarchy of authority, see, because there have been also good kings. There have been good leaders. And let me just do this. I want to thank the Lord for the good kings and the good leaders that we've seen, not only in times of old, but even current day. There are people in leadership that have people's best interest at heart. Amen. And I don't think they get enough airplay. I don't think we see enough of that on TV, if you will. I don't believe we see enough of that on news when we see leaders doing the right thing, when we see leaders caring for people, when we see leaders praying with people, when we see leaders associating and establishing relationships with people in their jurisdiction or in their community. When we see leaders doing that, we should give them props. We should praise God for what he's doing. And it doesn't mean that we have to wait until they are Christian leaders. No, hallelujah. If a leader is doing anything for the sake of people, let's applaud that. Let's not discount, oh, well, they only did that because. No, they did it. Let's just celebrate the fact that they did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So here, every authority comes from God. I like this in Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 through 10. And this has to speak to the authority that we're talking about. And here, the centurion, some of you know, a centurion is a man, a soldier that's over at least 100 men. And here, he comes to Jesus as Jesus is on the road, and he asks Jesus to heal his servant, which is back at home. And Jesus said, okay, let's go to your house. And the centurion answered and said, look at what he says, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man, what? Under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and another does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What Jesus is saying is, this man understands the authority that I have. He understands that all I have to do is speak the word. In fact, the man said, all I have to do is speak the word, and everything in heaven and earth will agree with my word, and that word will heal my servant. Why? Because Jesus spoke it, and Jesus had authority over all things. And Jesus marveled. He said, you know what? Even my people don't see me like this. Even my people don't believe like this. He said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. Why? Because Jesus had authority. He had authority over the principalities, over the powers of the rulers of the darkness. Jesus still has authority. Even though we wrestle against those, they are not under the scope or out of the scope of Jesus. So we know that authority comes from God. We know that we are to pray for folks because pray for those in authority because God is sovereign. And then number three, we pray for those in authority because we have been given authority. We pray for those in authority because we have been given authority. Now, Matthew chapter 28, let's look at that. Matthew chapter 28, and look at what it says here. Matthew chapter 28. This is Jesus. He came and he spoke to his disciples saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Everybody see that there? What Jesus is saying, he's commissioning. Some of you know that's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. And what's interesting about this Great Commission is this is what he sends. He shares this, and then he sends his disciples out, and he ascends into heaven. We know that. So here, he's saying, all power in heaven and earth, or all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Greek language is more expressive, if you will, than our English language. And so we could say power in English, and we just think it means power. It could mean strength. It could also mean like PG&E, our lights are on because we have power, right? Well, in the Greek, there are two words that we translate as power in the English. One is exousia. Exousia. That exousia is authority. And this is what Jesus is saying. All authority has been given to me. And guess what? Now I'm giving you this authority to go and preach the gospel. I'm giving you this authority. And oftentimes that authority was realized or it was manifest when a person would say, in the name of Jesus. They're saying, in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Will. I'm not even preaching today in my name. Now, you might be seeing me, but I'm not preaching in my name. I'm preaching in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I'm preaching by his authority. He has called me as a pastor. He has hid the word in my heart. He has given me his Holy Spirit. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And therefore, I'm preaching this message in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that you're receiving it in the name of Jesus. Amen. By his authority. So when we see or when we hear in the name of Jesus, it's not a slogan that we tack on the end of something that we want to see manifest. It is the authority with which we are operating. It's how we are getting done what we are getting done. We're getting it done because Jesus gave us the authority to get it done. And we say, in the name of Jesus, I say no in Jesus' name. You got to get out of here. In Jesus' name, I will say no to confusion in Jesus' name. No to sickness and disease in Jesus' name. We are going to stand in Jesus' name, and we're going to allow God's will to be done in our lives. Oh, glory to God. I want to encourage you parents that have a wayward son or daughter or both, or you may have some wayward grandchildren. I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, you have the authority of Jesus Christ to pray for your children and believe God for their salvation, regardless of how they are looking right now, regardless of what they are doing right now. I want to encourage you in Jesus' name to pray for your children, to pray for your grandchildren. And Paul is telling us here to pray for those in authority. Why? Because we have been given authority to do so. In Jesus' name, I pray for peace in this country. In Jesus' name, I pray that the truth would come out. In Jesus' name, I pray that those who are manipulating and scheming and marginalizing people, in Jesus' name, I pray that God would deal with you. I pray that you would come to salvation because you really need the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. See, we need to pray. Why? Because we've been given the authority to do so. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Look at it. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Look at what it says here. And this is Jesus. Then he called his 12 disciples and gave them what? Power over the demons and to do what? Cure diseases. Everybody see that there? See, Jesus gave his disciples power even then when he was on earth. Let me let you look at this here. We go in Matthew chapter 16. Look at this here. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, I pray that you get that in your spirit. You know, when we see evil, just understand that evil can't overcome good, but good can overcome evil. So don't succumb to what you see and think that it's hopeless. Oh no, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And let's look at what verse 19 says. Look at verse 19. He says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose where? In heaven. Everybody see this here? Here, you and I have been given authority. Now, let me let you know, it's not spooky. It's not something that's exclusively yours. I like what the Apostle Paul says. He says, what do you have that you haven't received? So we receive this authority from God, and we operate in our sphere of influence the way he wants us to operate. But let me let you know this. We should never accept wickedness. We should never accept evil. We should never accept anything that's ungodly without bringing it to God in prayer. We should never accept, oh, that's just the way they are. No, it's not. And they may be that way now, but I'm going to start praying. that may be what they've done up until this point, but I am bringing these things to God in prayer. I love the song that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. See, there it is again. So you and I, we may see things, but by the authority invested in me as a child of God, I'm getting God on this thing. I'm allowing God's activity to be done. I'm praying for his divine intervention to occur. Why? Because I'm a believer, and I'm not going to take it lying down. Oh, no, I'm going to take it on my knees. I will not take it lying down. I will be on my knees, and I tell you, I have walked with the Lord for quite some time now, and he's never let me down when I brought issues to him on my knees. He's never not answered. He's never said no. He's never allowed me to think that there was no response to to my prayer. He's always guided me in how to continue on trusting him for the very things that we bring to God in prayer. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that you're getting this. Okay, let me conclude this. So prayer is necessary. Prayer is necessary. Even when we have authority, see, it doesn't supersede prayer. Look at Mark chapter 9. I'm going to go there, and then we're going to just close out here. Here, even in Mark chapter 9. Now, what's happening is there's a man that was possessed by a demon. And of course, we know that Jesus gave his disciples authority, and they couldn't cast it out. And so as I'm thinking about authority, I mentioned the fact that one of the Greek words for authority is exousia. And then another Greek word for authority is dunamis. Dunamis, we get the term dynamite from that. And that is demonstrative power. That is explosive power. So you and I, we have authority, but we also have power that can be demonstrated by how we seek God for particular things and how he uses us in response to us seeking him. So here in Mark chapter 9, look at what it says here. There's a man that the disciples couldn't cast the devil out. In Mark chapter 9, verse 28, it says this, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Think about that. They say, well, Jesus, why could we not cast out this demon? You had given us authority. We've done others. Why could we not cast out this one? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Oh, there it is. See, there's even though we have authority and we have power, God still says pray. Because some things won't come out unless you pray. And as we are learning in our exhortation today, that some things require us to fast. So we pray for those in authority because God is sovereign. We pray for those in authority because authority comes from God. And we pray for those in authority because we have God's authority to call upon him to intervene in the affairs of men today. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand this dynamic of praying for those in authority. You've shown us the many reasons why people don't pray for those in authority. But I thank you, Lord, that now we have all the more reason to pray for those in authority because of what's going on in our society today. They need our prayers. And Lord, I pray that if we fit any one of those categories where we were not praying because they didn't believe what we believed, or they didn't do what we think they needed to do, or they were in a different party than we were, or on a different side of an issue than we were, I pray that you would forgive us. And if you are listening today, if you are on this meeting, the Zoom call, if you're on Facebook, I want to encourage you to examine yourself. Examine yourself. Examine yourself in lieu of what's been going on in our culture today. Where are you? As a believer, where are you? What are you saying? What are you listening to? Who are you believing as a believer? I pray that you have been encouraged by this message to see yourself as a citizen of a heavenly kingdom, that you would see yourself as an ambassador for Christ, as our main scripture says, that it is us who are sharing the word of reconciliation, not the word of division, not the word of dividing, not the word of confusion, not the word of conflict, but we are sharing the word of reconciliation, the word of bringing together. Oh, I pray that that's where you are. But some of you might say, well, Pastor Will, you know what? I did do some things and I did say some things because I really didn't know what I'm learning here today. That's okay. Because the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah, you can say, you know what, Lord? I said I was against this person, or I was against this ideology. I didn't even think to pray for him. I'm just digging in my trench. And I pray that you would forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for not considering bringing you into this issue, for not considering prayer around this issue. Lord, I repent. And now help me to see opportunities to pray. Help me to see everything that happens as an opportunity for me to face it on my knees, that I would trust you and I would look for your intervention in these things that are going on in life. And I would not allow it to happen. I would not take it lying down, but I'll take it on my knees to you in prayer. Oh, I pray that that's your resolve today, ladies and gentlemen, that you would seek to pray and watch God's will done. See, I want to encourage you. There's been so many things that we've been learning in this series, and it's so important that we bathe these things that we've discovered in prayer, that we seek God for those who are in authority. Some of you say, well, Pastor Will, I hear you, but I don't know God like that. You know, I'm hearing what you're saying, but man, it's been a long time since I even talked to God. And so I don't think I'd be talking about the nation. I think I'd be talking about me. And you know what? That's a good topic, by the way, because the Bible tells us this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what it says. See, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's not by good deeds. It's not by giving money. It's not by being a good person. You can't be good. You can do good things, but you can't be a good person because we're all born in sin. See, it's not by any of those things that we have right standing with God. It's through Jesus, because he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And you say, Pastor Will, I want to connect with God through Jesus. I'm going to pray with you. And I want you to, this is your very first time praying this prayer, I want you to pray this prayer. And let me let you know that there's no power specifically in the prayer. Your heart is already at the place that it wants to yield to God. if you're praying this prayer, because with the heart, one believes to salvation, and with the mouth, confession is made. So if you're saying, yeah, this is what I want, guess what? What you're getting ready to say just opens the door for your salvation experience. Hallelujah. And so you say, yeah, I want to receive Jesus Christ. So just repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died and you were buried for me, and God raised you from the dead so that I have an opportunity to live newness of life with you. I know you love me and gave yourself for me. Now I give myself to you. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In your name, amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I pray if you've prayed that prayer, I pray that you can contact us some kind of way. If you could just go to impactchurchbayarea.org, leave an email. Nobody will see it but me. If you want to connect with our Facebook page, let somebody know that you got saved today. Hallelujah. I pray that you do. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Happy birthday to you. For those of you who say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord. So I want to just close, and then we're going to move into another segment of our time together where I want you to hang out, because I'm going to give you an opportunity to say hi to one another on Zoom. But I'm going to close this out in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard, for what our spiritual eyes have seen, and for what has entered into our hearts today. We know that you are our God, and we have been commissioned today to pray. We will take our right place as your children, and we will post up, and we will pray for all in authority. Daily, we will pray. We will allow you access into the affairs of men through our prayers. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. Praise.